God spoke to men in earlier times in a variety of ways. Now he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus. Jesus created the world. He is the brightness of God's glory, the exact image of God, and he is the one who upholds all the universe by his powerful word. This same Jesus purged our sins by his death. When his work was completed, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high because he is greater than all, even than angels. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? To the Son, God says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will fold them up. They will be changed, but you are the same. And your years will not fail." To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool"? Since Jesus is God, we must give careful attention to the things we have heard about him, lest we drift away from the faith. That the word that was spoken to Moses through the angels was steadfast, and every disobedience to that received its fitting punishment. How will we escape if we neglect the great salvation first spoken by the Lord, confirmed by those who heard him? God himself, take note of that, God himself testified to the truth of the message of Christ, and he did so through signs and wonders, through various miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is greater than the angels. It is evident because God did not promise to angels the rule of the world to come, but he did promise eternal rule to Jesus, and only to Jesus, the Son of Man. And since God became man, this causes us to ask, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that you take care of him? But God made him a little lower than the angels. God crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of his hands. You have put all things in subjection to him. The universe is not yet in full obedience to Jesus. Jesus has already been made a little lower than the angels to suffer death. He has already been crowned with glory and honor, and it is by the grace of God that Jesus tasted death for everyone. It was necessary. It was necessary for him who made all things. For him to be the captain of our salvation, he had to be made perfect through sufferings, that he might bring many children to glory with him. And to do this, Jesus had to become flesh and blood like us, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And so to give salvation to men, Jesus had to be made like his brethren, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest, so he could make propitiation for the sins of the people. And because Jesus himself was tempted and suffered, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Therefore, holy brethren and partakers of the holy calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him. Moses was faithful to his calling. He was rightly honored by the Israelites, but Jesus is worthy of far more glory than Moses. Because Moses was a servant in the household of God, but Jesus is God who rules over his own house. And we are members of that household of Christ if we hold fast to our confession and to our rejoicing and hope. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall, like the Israelites did when they refused to enter Canaan. Let us be diligent, because the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Seeing then that we have such a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because every human priest, he was appointed for the benefit of men to offer gifts and sacrifices to God for sins. Because they were men, they suffered the weaknesses of humanity. They were able to have compassion on those who went astray. But because the priests were men, and because of their own weaknesses, they first had to offer sacrifices for their own sin. And no man takes this priestly honor to himself. Instead, he is called by God. So Jesus also, he did not glorify himself to make himself priest, but it was God who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you, and you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Jesus also suffered in the flesh and offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to God, who was able to save him from death. And God heard Jesus' prayer. And though Jesus was God the Son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Through his suffering, Jesus became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. And Jesus was called by God to be high priest of the order of Melchizedek. And of this, there's a lot that could be said that is hard to explain. But do not be like the Hebrews. They should have been teachers, but instead they needed someone to teach them again the first principles of God's word. So do not fall back to immaturity so that you need milk instead of solid food. Because to everyone who partakes only of milk, he is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He is a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are mature, to those who have exercised their spiritual senses and are able to discern good and evil. And so to grow in maturity, leave behind the repetition of basic principles so you can go on to perfection. You must give diligence to grow in Christ, because it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and had tasted the heavenly gifts and had become partakers of the Holy Spirit and had tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and they put him to an open shame. Though I say this, it's a warning we need to heed. I am also confident of better things concerning you. I know you are, and you will produce the fruits of righteousness that accompany salvation. You can be faithful and fruitful, because God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown to his name. You have ministered to the saints, and you do minister. I'm not just quoting Hebrews. I mean that. Just to throw an interjection there. I absolutely mean you have ministered and you do minister. I desire that you show the same diligence to that full assurance of hope until the very end. So do not be lazy, but imitate those who have gone before you, those who through faith and patience inherited the promises of God, and be confident the promises of God are sure. Because when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you." And so after Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Men swear by the greater. An oath of confirmation is an end of dispute. So God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the changelessness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two unchanging things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for hope, fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. And that hope that we have is an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast. And that hope is ours in the presence of God, where Jesus has entered for us because he is the high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And this Melchizedek, the king of Salem and the priest of the Most High God, he met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings. You may remember the story. And to Melchizedek, Abraham gave a tenth part of all of their spoils. Melchizedek was a king of righteousness and a king of peace. He appeared before Abraham without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but like the Son of God, seemingly remains a priest without end. And consider how great Melchizedek was, that even Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. The priests of Israel are the sons of Levi. They receive tithes from the people of God according to the law of Moses. But Melchizedek, who is not descended from Levi, received tithes from Abraham. And Melchizedek blessed Abraham, who was the recipient of God's promises. Certainly the greater blesses the lesser. So that even Levi, who received tithes from Israel, paid tithes to Melchizedek through Abraham. And it is apparent from that that Melchizedek was greater than Levi. Therefore, Jesus, as a priest after the order of Melchizedek, is greater than any priest descended from Levi. And Jesus is greater because if salvation was possible through the Levitical priesthood, what need is there for another priest to rise according to the order of Melchizedek? Not according to the order of Aaron. If the priesthood was changed, then the law itself was changed. And Jesus, he belonged to the tribe of Judah. It's not the tribe of not the priestly tribe. Yet it is evident that he has come in the likeness of Melchizedek. He is not a priest by fleshly commandments, but by the power of his endless life, because God testified of him, "You are a priest forever," according to the order of Melchizedek. Therefore, the Mosaic law is annulled because of its weakness and its unprofitableness. The law made no one perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope has been brought in by Jesus. This hope, we draw near to God. And so it is by this better priesthood, better hope, and better promise of God that Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests under the law because death prevented them from continuing as priests. Jesus is better. He is a better priest because he continues forever. He has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives, making intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. He does not need to offer daily, like those high priests in Israel. He does not need to daily offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. But instead, he offered one sacrifice for all when he offered up himself. The law appointed as priests, men who have weakness. But the word of God's oath, which came after the law was given, appoints the Son of God, who has been perfected forever. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord built and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it was necessary that Jesus also have something to offer. Jesus has obtained a more excellent ministry. As a result, he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Because if that first covenant, the old covenant, had been without fault, then no place would have been sought for a second covenant. But because he found fault with the first, God said, "Behold, the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them." God then said, "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in the days to come. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them will teach his neighbor or brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more." The first covenant, it had an earthly tabernacle in which the high priest served. But the high priest could only enter into the Holy of Holies once a year. To do so, he first had to offer a blood sacrifice for his own sin and another for the sins of the nation. And the Holy Spirit used that ritual to show that the way into the heavenly Holy of Holies was not yet made known. The tabernacle and the sacrifices were a constant reminder that the offerings cannot make the giver perfect. But Jesus is a better priest who gives a better offering. He came as high priest of the good things to come. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered into the most holy place once for all time, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more? Think about that. If blood of a bull could sanctify, to purify the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Holy Spirit offered himself without spot to God the Father, how much more will God the Son sacrifice, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And it is for that reason that he is the mediator of the new covenant, so that those who believe him will receive from him the promise of eternal life. That first covenant was ratified by blood. According to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The new covenant was also ratified by blood. Jesus offered himself, but not in the earthly temple. Instead, he went into the presence of God for us. And Jesus offered himself, but he did not have to do so often as the high priest did every year. Else he would have had to suffer since the world was created. But instead, Jesus came to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just like it is appointed for men to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. And this same Jesus is returning for his children to bring them eternal salvation. The law was a shadow of the salvation to come through Jesus. It was not the salvation itself. The law can never make perfect those who offered continual sacrifices every single year. If it could make them perfect, they would have ceased offering sacrifices. But instead, in those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins every year, because it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. That is why when Jesus came into the world, he said, sacrifices offering you did not desire. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. But instead, Jesus offered himself. Not another sacrifice. Himself. By the will of God. As a result of that, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all and forever. And Jesus, after he'd offered that one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, because by that one offering, don't miss this, by that one offering, he has perfected forever those who are sanctified by him. And the Holy Spirit also makes promises to us in this new covenant. Because after he said, this is the covenant that I will make with them, I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds, he then adds, this is the promise of God the Holy Spirit. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Jesus is better because he alone is the one offering who reconciles sinners to God. Because Jesus is better. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he promised is faithful. And let us consider one another to provoke to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. Exhort one another. But be warned. This warning runs all throughout. If you reject the gospel after knowing the truth, there is no longer any salvation. There is no other salvation. Those who reject Jesus can expect nothing but judgment. Because if you go back to the Old Testament law, those who rejected the law of Moses, they died on the testimony of a couple witnesses. How much worse do you think it will be for those who trample underfoot the Son of God, that count the blood of the covenant as of no value and insult the Holy Spirit of grace? We know God has said, vengeance is mine. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Therefore, do not turn back. Do not turn back from the faith. Endure. Because the just will live by faith. So God warns that he will refuse those who turn from him. But if you have truly believed, the marvelous promise, if you've truly believed to the salvation of your soul, you will not turn back from God to your own destruction. What is this faith by which we should live? It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice and was declared righteous. By faith, Enoch was taken away and did not die because he had this testimony. He pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It is by faith that Noah believed God's warning and built an ark to save his family from the flood. And in doing so, he received the righteousness which is only by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of Ur. He went out, not knowing where he was going. And he and his children lived as nomads in the land that God had promised to him, because he was waiting for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah gave birth to the child of promise because she believed God to be faithful to his promise. And these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And truly, if they'd been called, they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. If they looked back, they would have gone back. But instead, they desire a better, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, because he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham offered up Isaac, his only begotten son, the son of the promise of God, concluding that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph, and he worshiped God. By faith, Joseph spoke of the return of the Israelites to the promised land. By faith, Moses was hidden by his parents. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose instead to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoying the passing pleasures of sin. By faith, Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking to the reward. By faith, Israel kept the Passover. By faith, the Israelites passed through the Red Sea on dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, Rahab did not die with the rest in Jericho. We could also tell of the faith of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, and the prophets. By faith, they conquered, worked righteousness, received promises, stood against persecution. Others endured mocking, scourgings, chains, and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn in half, were tempted, were killed by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute and afflicted and tormented. They did all of this by faith, and even though the world despised them, it was not worthy of them, because they, through faith, obtained a good testimony from God. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us too go forth in faith. Let us lay aside every weight. Let us put off the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us by faith consider him who endured such hostility from sinners, lest you and I become discouraged and weary in our souls. And also do not forget the exhortation which speaks to you as children. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. So that if you are chastened by God, that is proof you are his son. If you're not chastened, then you're not his child. And your profession of faith is a fraud. Now remember as well, no chastening is enjoyable. Nevertheless, God's chastening produces the peaceful fruit of righteousness if you will be instructed by it. Because of the value of God's chastening, uphold each other. Strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Look carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble and defile many. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. In Christ, we are not brought back to that terrible Mount Sinai, that mountain which could not be touched, which burned with fire, with darkness and whirlwind. This mountain that was so terrifying that even Moses trembled. But instead, through Christ, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of this new, better covenant. And so do not refuse God. Do not turn away from him. If those who rejected him when he spoke from Mount Sinai, they could not escape judgment, how much more will we not escape if we reject him who speaks from heaven? Instead, since we are receiving an eternal kingdom, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and with godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And so let brotherly love continue. Be hospitable. Protect your marriage. Do not be covetous, because God himself is sufficient for you. He has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And as a result of what God has said, you can now boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. And it is Jesus Christ who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, let us hold on to him. Let our hearts be established by him, not with rituals, not with foods, not with other ceremonies, but with Christ, because we have in him something far greater than anything in the law, in anything in any religion devised by man. Because Jesus is far greater, it must be like him. He was cast out of the city of Jerusalem to suffer for our salvation. Therefore, we need to go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Here we have no continuing city. Like Abraham, we seek one that is to come. Therefore, let us by Christ continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of our lips that gives thanks to his name. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Grace be with you all. Amen.